Emerald Podcast Series. Research that makes a difference.
Welcome to the Emerald Publishing Podcast, three-part mini-series on the peer review process. My name is Daniel Ridge, and I'm a commissioning editor at Emerald Publishing. In this episode, we are looking at the peer review process through the author's perspective. To discuss this, I'm joined by Dr. Richard Bathurst, who is Professor Emeritus of Civil Engineering at the Royal Military College of Canada, where he has taught since 1980. He also holds a cross appointment with the Civil Engineering Department at Queen's University, also in Canada. Dr. Bathurst is the Editor-in-Chief of the IGS journal Geosynthetics International and has been working with the journal for 30 years. He has authored or co-authored more than 220 papers in refereed journals, 20 book chapters, and more than 250 contributions in conference proceedings. I began my conversation with Dr. Bathurst by asking what aspects of a review he finds most useful once he receives reviewer comments. So great. Thank you so much, Richard, for joining us. I'm curious from, you know, we're discussing this from an author's perspective. So when you receive your paper back from peer review, what aspects of the review do you find most valuable? Are you looking for feedback on the development of your ideas, or do you prefer practical suggestions?
I look for both. But initially, what I like to see in a good review is an initial overall appraisal of the paper, you know, before actually getting into the detailed technical comments. What's really important for an author, including me, is what does the reviewer think about the originality and the impact of the paper? And if these need to be strengthened, then I like to see this communicated to the author. Along similar lines, if the reviewer believes that the paper should be declined, there has to be clear reasons why. Of course, it's important that the reviewer be polite and professional. And one thing that I find often that's missing from a review is that if there are good points in the paper, I believe that the reviewer should be generous and recognize these points, because, you know, authors have worked very hard and they like to be recognized for those points that are made in the paper. Other things that I look for, if the authors have missed important related published work, then the reviewer should identify what these works are and give them enough information that they can find these papers. I really appreciate that when I have missed some important work. Although I must admit that today, you know, with Google Scholar, you know, it's very easy to find all published works, but sometimes it's a little bit more difficult to determine which works are seminal and important from those works that are less so.
So what sort of criteria do you believe reviewers should focus on to provide the most helpful feedback for you as an author?
As I mentioned, I like to see an overall appraisal of the paper. And then what I like to see are a careful, numbered list of comments that are clearly linked to different locations in the paper. And this is important to the author, because that helps the author to understand the reviewer's concerns, if any, and be able to pointedly respond to each one of those concerns. So that's why it's important to number the comments. I like to see, after some general comments have been made on the paper, I like to see, the technical issues being identified point by point.
Now, do you review papers yourself?
Yes.
So how does your experience as an author influence how you review?
Well, the things that I've mentioned that I look for in a review, that influences how I respond as an author to review comments, if that's what you mean. You know, there's an exchange between authors and reviewers. That is very important, particularly if the reviewers are doing a good job. I think other things that I look for is it's very important for the reviewer to identify those technical issues that are most important, and if not resolved, can lead to the paper not being accepted, as opposed to issues that deserve clarification but are not fatal to paper acceptance. Because you want the authors to apply effort to those parts of the paper that deserve it. Other things, again, from experience, both as an author, reviewer, and an editor, is some reviewers think that their responsibility, if you like, is to provide an editing service for the authors. And I don't agree with this. I would rather that a reviewer spend time focusing on the technical content of the paper and not focusing on correcting author's grammar. It's sufficient for the reviewer to point out examples of systemic poor English and grammar. That's enough so that the author understands he's got a problem there, and the editor who's managing the review understands there's a problem. But there are professional editing services that are available to authors who are writing in English as a second language.
Yeah, that is one of the questions that I wanted to ask you, is that, you know, in the globalized world, in the globalized academic world we live in, authors are writing from very different places in the globe. They're reviewing different papers from the globe. Is there something that you would advise the overall experience of international authors working with one another in the review process?
I think that a reviewer needs to be a little bit generous and appreciate that authors are often writing in a second language, English, and be polite. But on the other hand, what I'm finding over many years is the problem of quality of English is becoming less of a concern, because what I'm finding is that authors who want to publish in credible Western English technical journals are employing, you know, professional editing services before they submit the papers. And this makes things a lot easier, because I can remember there was a time, it does happen occasionally in my world as an editor, that a paper will be declined at receipt because the English is so poor. And like I said, there really is no excuse for this now.
Yeah. So then, talking about your general attitude, what would you say is your attitude when you receive feedback back? In your experience, what attitude should authors have? And what is your approach to receiving feedback?
Well, first of all, as an author, I like a critical review. I don't want to see a review that's nasty, but I want to come away from that review knowing that reviewer put some thought into their comments and clearly read the paper. I've been lucky in some cases that authors have come back and said, you know, the paper's well written and I really don't have anything to say. Well, that makes me feel good for a little while, but it's of no value to me. There's no such thing as a perfect paper. And going back to an earlier comment, if a reviewer generally thinks that about a paper, they should write a few comments about what were the good parts of the paper? What was the part that I liked? What was the part that I put a check mark, so to speak, on the paper, because it was a very good point? So that's what I like. You know, if I have missed an important prior work that's related to what I've done, then I really do appreciate that.
Do you find authors ever becoming defensive of their work?
Yes. I mean, some do. There are some really established authors that sometimes are very pompous. You know, I've had authors come back and say, listen, I won this gold medal, you know, and so I know what I'm talking about, et cetera. There's a few people like that still. but it's pretty rare. Interestingly, one thing that I often see, which is unnecessary, is that some authors are over gratuitous in their thanking of the reviewers. Every reviewer comment they will start with, "We thank the reviewer for this comment." This is really unnecessary. It's what the author can do is, in their response, they can just put a line somewhere saying, you know, "These review comments were very useful, and we have used them to, you know, to improve the value of the paper," this type of thing.
Yeah. Well, what if an author genuinely disagrees with the reviewer's comments?
That's a good question. And what they need to do is to make a clear statement why. And most editors who are managing papers will make that comment. If you do not agree with the reviewer comment, clearly state why, you know, rather than saying "we don't agree."
And when it comes to the nuts and bolts, what practical advice do you give when it comes to answering feedback and incorporating it into your paper?
What I expect and often ask authors, and I do it myself, is I clearly link my responses to the comments, which hopefully have been numbered. If they haven't been numbered, I'll number them. And then what I do in the revised track changes paper, I will use comment balloons. And in the comment balloon, I'll write reviewer one, comment X, and highlight the location in the text where my response to the reviewer comment is located. This makes it so much easier for a reviewer. And authors need to understand that a happy reviewer is the first step to having a paper accepted.
Yeah, well, I mean, it really is a relationship, isn't it? You have the reviewer, you have the author, and then you have the editor of the journal or the book series itself.
That's right. And I think sometimes authors and reviewers don't understand that the editor is going to look at all of the reviewer comments. He's going to look, or he or she is going to look at all of the responses and get a big picture appreciation of the paper before making the decision. If a particular reviewer says, "I don't think this paper should be published," that reviewer doesn't have the final say. The editor who is adjudicating this paper is going to take into consideration all of the reviewer comments and a whole bunch of other stuff as well that may not always be obvious to the reviewer or the author. I mean, maybe the paper is over length. Maybe the quality of the figures themselves are not acceptable. So all of these things are part of the decision process on whether a paper is accepted, declined, moves forward, or whatever.
Are there any recommendations you'd give an author in terms of the relationship with the editor?
Well, clearly there must not be a conflict, but a good editor will make sure that doesn't happen. But I think that the author should also be respectful of the editor themselves, you know, so don't get into a conflict in writing with the editor, disagreeing with the editor, etc. Most editors are on the side of authors. So avoid conflict.
And avoid that over flowery talk.
Yes. Be polite and professional.
Great. Thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate your comments on the author experience.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much for giving me this opportunity.
Thank you for listening to today's episode. For more information about the peer review process and to listen to other episodes in our peer review mini-series, please visit our website by searching Emerald Publishing Podcast Series Peer Review. I'd like to thank my guests for joining me today and the studio This Is Distorted.